Space, the final frontier. Space Station Ashlyn sits on the edge of Federation space with its companion ship, the USS Delamis Christian. The space around them is full of mystery and strange wonders, where secrets are kept and danger lurks around every corner. The crew of the Delamis Christian must navigate treacherous waters as they work to protect the Federation. But as they peer into the unknown, they will discover that the line between friend and foe is not always clear. They will be tested like never before, and will face challenges that will push them to their limits. Join us on this adventure as we explore the farthest reaches of space and uncover the hidden truths that lie within the shadows. Tabletop Journeys presents Star Trek: Preservations.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. So it seems we have a bit of a quandary here. I'm going to need all of your input on how best for us to approach. Mr. Tenori, I'm assuming you've seen the data that the sensor team's collected, that this planet IL-47, the Maldonians, they have fairly advanced sensor scanning technology such that they can detect most warp signatures, so we'll need to drop out of warp outside their stellar system. In fact, I'm going to work with Arvik and Ensign Lusson to bring the Delamis Christian in sunwards of the planet. And so we'll drop out of warp behind the star and then fly in system around the star and keep it at our backs so that the stellar radiation is disguising us as possible. Mr. Tenori, I'm going to need you to rig the shields to provide as much optical and electromagnetic stealth capability as possible.
Actually, sir, I've got some ideas on that front. First of all, we can disable the warp reactor on one of the shuttles. And then, assuming Ensign Lusson is up for it, we can either have the shuttle go in itself or strap it on to the back of an asteroid and go in on a ballistic course into the planet.
I grin.
What would be the reasoning to do that when we can maneuver the Christian in system?
Keeping the Christian on the other side of the sun is a good idea, but at some point we're going to have to approach the planet. And approaching the planet unpowered is the only way to avoid their sensors.
My understanding, looking at the data, is the active warp field. Unless your data is showing me otherwise, I don't think we need to shut down the warp reactor.
To clarify, the info was they can detect warp signature, not an active warp field. So an active warp drive in system is something they can pick up.
And to be honest, there's always visual light telescopes.
Yes, but our shields can deal with that. It won't be perfect. It's not a Romulan cloaking device. But we've had the technology to avoid optical scans for hundreds of years now. It's their more sophisticated ones that I'm more worried about. And you're right. It looks like it's the warp signature of the warp engine. I'm loath, though, to send in a shuttle unsupported.
It's a quandary, sir. There's everything that we're seeing about this planet says stay away, but obviously that's not an option. And
I assume we're not able to direct a narrow beam communication signal to the Mako ship and disable the transmission?
We can try.
Without letting them know someone else is out here?
We can try, but as far as I know, that's very old technology and not nearly as automated as we are now.
Because my worry is right now is that it's already an incident. They can't not have detected the signal.
Well, sir, what is our actual goal? Is it just to shut down the signal or is it to retrieve the ship?
It's to prevent and repair as much prime directive damage as possible without making the scenario any worse. If at all possible, would be to recover the ship, remove it and any evidence from the planet such that it does not give them any indication that there is civilized life outside of their own star system.
So ideal situation, remove the ship without them knowing. Worst case, blow it up.
Very worst case. I don't know what would be more damaging in the long term. Would it be to destroy it or to let them have it and have physical evidence confirming existence of extraplanetary life?
It would seem to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, a strict reading of the Prime Directive, letting them actually have the ship would be the worst outcome. Letting them actually have the technology.
Again, this is why the Prime Directive is the Prime Directive, and it's been interpreted in many different ways by many different captains over the years. I agree with you, the existence, physical, tangible evidence is never good. But if they already have it, removing it with doing the least amount of harm is going to be our mission profile, I think. And this thing is nearly as big as the Christian. We have our high-powered tractor beam. We can get the crash ship off the surface. It would be ugly and messy and noisy, but it could be done. Again, I don't know where the ship is in physical relationship to the geography on the planet. If it's already been detected and secured by the Maldonians, I may need to do some undercover negotiations with their leadership to retrieve the and come to some sort of understanding with higher limited ranking of their official government in order to classify the information and contain the cultural contamination.
I'm assuming at this point we don't have any idea what actual shape the ship is in.
Not that I'm aware of. We're not close enough to scan because we're also... My assumption, and Lieutenant Nilon, confirm if I'm wrong, is that if we fire in an active sensor beam to determine the state of that ship, they're likely to detect it as an incoming energy signature of some sort. They might not know what it is, but they would detect it.
I believe that's true.
So right now, everything we have is from passive sensors and what we've received from the communication from the ship.
Because depending on what shape the ship is in, we might be able to fix it enough for it to leave on its own power.
Right.
But that depends on certain things going right.
And again, a big giant ship raising up into the sky and flying off could cause some questions.
Exactly.
On so the other blowing hand, it up may be an answer. We would want to make sure that whatever device we used, A, in and of itself, didn't cause any additional evidence or damage or whatnot. We can see if this system has an asteroid belt that we may be able to bootstrap a significant size asteroid onto our tractor beam and then hurl it so it happens to hit and destroy this very suspicious alien artifact.
I have to make sure it's not so big that it causes a new ice age.
Of course. But I trust you and Lieutenant Nilon to do the math correctly that it gets us just a big enough boom.
Well,
without any complications.
As far as getting it back, we can hope that we're lucky enough that it's in a remote enough area that the only people who see it take off are, let's be honest, a lot of people like me that no one's going to believe in the first place.
That's the best case scenario. We're planning for the worst case, though, that it has been detected and a substantial militarized force is securing the site and investigating its presence and existence.
Okay, with discussions about location, options as far as what the major mission parameters are, anybody else had anything they wish to add to the discussion at this point?
I'll tap my comm badge. Mr. Arvik, please join us in the conference room.
I will share while you're doing this what I've learned about the type of ship. I will call it a Lenith Tuleth, which probably has to be translated for some of you. It is Andorian for essentially ghost ship. But more importantly, the last sightings of this were around the Romulan neutral zone, which means there's something very strange about it being this far away.
What do you mean aftermarket add-ons? You know anything more than that, Mr. Chizilver?
We would consider that to be black market at this point.
Of course.
The Makos would have looked to supplement their...
So here's what I'm asking, and here's what I'm hoping, and fingers crossed, is that during the Earth-Romulan War, the Makos, unbeknownst to Starfleet, as they were wont to do, salvaged and took a Romulan cloaking device, bolted it onto their Mako ship, and were going on some black ops mission. So if all the stars and all the galaxies line up, this thing has some sort of ancient pirated Romulan cloaking device on it that we can repair, turn on, and fly the ship away. No one will see it.
One would hope.
That would be the best case scenario.
Agreed.
Worst case scenario, it's got some sort of ticking time bomb on it. Some dead man switch.
One thing that we can do is, given what we know about these ships and about what should and shouldn't be on them, given the information that I've found, and I slide the pad towards Narilla, we should be able to use what we've already learned plus this to perhaps get a sense of what was bolted on. If it's something like, best case scenario, it is exactly that, a cloaking device. Worst case scenario, it's something like hibernation chambers.
That's actually the second worst case, but yes, I understand what you're saying. So, Mr. Tornari, back to my original question. How long and how possible would it be for you to configure our shields, power down the warp core to minimal operating levels, and come in under thrusters? How stealthy can you make us, given late Earth 22nd century sensor technology and the information we have from the Starfleet briefing?
Say give us 12 hours.
You've got 10 till we arrive in system.
That sounds like a complication of one.
I believe there's some materials we can paint on the hull that's supposed to absorb active sensor probes. But it's a big ship.
Yeah, but I mean, our ships have stealth materials built into them. It's part of just our normal construction, because it's always a game of... We try to hide, they try and find. We try to hide, they try and find. As we've been playing this back and forth, so, like...
Yeah, but I'm thinking, even if we can't get the whole ship, maybe a couple extra layers over the engineering sections to try to hide the warp core. Because even at minimum, it gives off some energy.
Yeah, and hopefully what energy is given off, they are blind staring into this sun. To which Mr. Arvik, I fill him in, I'm like... All that being said, can we plot a course into the inner system where we put the star behind us throughout the whole arcing trek in thrusters or even very low impulse power and maintain a quiet emission control profile.
I believe that's definitively possible, even probable, sir. However, the concern would be conditions, quote unquote, on the ground. If we go based on our most recent detailed surveys of the system in question, we are probably close to 15 to 20 years out of date with what they may have now. As far along the path of development as they are, we also have no idea of what upgrades they have made to their systems and or expansion of their satellite coverage network. Any approach solution I could come up with could leave us extremely exposed based on what little we know right now. I would recommend providing our astrometrics teams and sensor teams to review current data versus past data for at least an hour when we are outside the system to give us the best chance of an approach. With that, I should be able to recommend a logical course of action.
Sounds good. And if we have to, if we can only get as close to the planet as hiding behind the third planet, I'd feel much more comfortable than having to keep the Christian outside of the system. Does this only have the one moon?
It has a couple smaller satellites, but...
anything big enough we can hide behind?
Several. It's got four natural satellites, all of which you, in theory, could hide behind. One of those satellites tumbles very quickly and regularly and is quite reflective, almost like it's a rock of pure nickel. So it is exceptionally reflective. And as it is an irregular-shaped object of significant mass, its reflecting abilities are... one could reasonably theorize, without having any specific knowledge of the system, that hiding behind that would be a bad idea because it's likely to basically pick up things as it turns and reflects and things like that. So that would be a bad option. So there's three options that you could hide behind, but that's extremely close. And while you would probably have good eyes on what they have for a satellite network by the time you tried to get to something like that, you would not be able to predict space travel, bearing in mind that they are a spacefaring race within their system. They have regular transit to various places in their system. So even if you're out of eyesight from the planet or its network, all it takes is a ship with a communications array.
Yep.
Sir, I just thought of something.
Yeah.
I remembered readings in my histories at the Academy. There was an event on the Enterprise D where someone managed to hide from their sensors by hiding over the north magnetic pole of a planet. If that was enough to confuse a galaxy class ship's sensors, it should be enough to confuse these people's.
Possibly, depending on how their sensor satellite network is, that is an option to explore. But I think, Mr. Arvik, the time being, as we are angling in towards the system, drop us out of warp behind the star, put the star between us and the second planet, then we'll come in on a low velocity ballistic trajectory after we've done our system scans, maybe send a passive probe in system to collect data.
Sir, since we're bouncing ideas off the wall here.
Yeah.
What if we expanded that? What if we set ourselves up on the north magnetic pole of the sun? We would be able to visually watch the planet.
I want to be in transporter range, if at all possible.
But at least maybe for our first view,
ideas to where the satellites are. The only issue with any kind of duck blind like that is any magnetic field strong enough to hide us is going to make it very difficult for our sensors to see clearly out. That's always the...
then why don't we push-pull in this scenario. Why don't we take the Eagle? We put the Delanus Christian on the opposite side of the sun. We send the Eagle, which has superior sensors.
None of our runabouts can tow a...
we don't need it to
MX,
tow it. We need
MX type
it,
ship.
We need it to collect more information.
Again, I think an actual unmanned passive probe will get us the basic information we need. And if not, then we will switch to the Eagle and progressively larger and less stealthy option. But we have, in fact, Mr. Tenari, if you can modify a sensor probe to be extra stealthy, let's start with that.
I can do that.
Excellent. Lieutenant Nilan, any ideas on the science side?
Can possibly block the way they're signaling to mask our ship.
Why don't you work with the comms and see if you can't find a way to connect to the ship on the ground and turn off the signal without giving away our presence?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. And Mr. Chirizler, you and I will do some contingency planning while the team are working on the scientific end. Let's head down to stellar cartography and see what we can see. Anyone else have anything?
No, sir.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Arvik. You said take us to maximum warp and bring us out of warp opposite their star.
Excellent. Arvik will stand up as being dismissed. He'll head to his position on the bridge and get the ship in gear and get you going. Dave, you won't need to roll any complications. Enough time had passed. Your team had done what they've done, so you don't need to worry about any complications with the other work at this stage because enough time had been passed. Underway at regular speed. Now that you're going to high warp, you'll be fine. The ship is en route. We'll start with the captain and the XO in stellar cartography. Is that correct?
Sure. Actually, yep. On our way down there, I'm going to stop by the communication station and let Staven know that as we get closer, see what he can pick up from transmissions from the planet. Specifically, patterns or whatnot, whether or not there's any chatter about the signal, and more importantly, if he can deduce or at least record so we can work on it together, who's making those communications, whether or not it's an official group or a group that we might be able to negotiate with under the table. So...
Aye, sir.
In fact, Lee, I have a quick question. Because I haven't been able to find this in a second edition yet, but I did know in first edition, one of the things you could do as a spending of your determination is make something in-universe a true thing.
Yes. Create a perfect opportunity is the rule you're referring to. I think it's page 18 or 15 in the quick start. And I don't recall off the top of my head the pages in the core rulebook.
But so I'd like to spend a determination because, again, the galaxy is a dangerous place, that because the Maldonians are actually so close to the threshold of achieving warp technology, there is, in fact, a stealthed Federation observation buoy in system that's watching them and tracking them, but it passively collects. It doesn't transmit because of the risk of detection, but you would have to come in and do a close light LIDAR communication point to point.
Handshake.
Handshake so that we can get all the information we're wanting and maybe make it a little more narratively compact.
Absolutely. I think that'll work. I like that expenditure of determination. Consider it done.
All right. So we get down to stellar cartography. I have them pull up the IL-47 star and all the star systems, and we start mapping out. Okay, so best case scenario, we come in stellar nadir polar entry point. We come in this direction. We track the movements of the star and the system rotation, and that gets us here and here. And we start doing the calculations of what's the math on the likelihood of being detected. We plug in some base sensors, satellite thing. Most civilizations do scientific study at the star, so that may in fact have a lot of like instruments pointed at it. So that may actually not be a good approach vector, so an alternative vector. And so on and so forth. And we start gaming out the odds to either get to the regular planet in like polar orbit, the second planet like behind a moon, or like third planet hiding, or like fourth option is like hiding in an asteroid belt kind of thing.
Sure. This is a complex problem because of the lack of information at the time you're asking it.
Yeah.
I have just spent 6 threat. This is going to be a challenge that has a 4 difficulty and a complication plus 2. And you will definitely have the ability to roll for the best plan in this situation. And what I will be doing is providing you 3 options, and your level of success will determine the veracity in which those options are placed to you as being easiest, best, worst.
All right. I'm going to use reason science on this one then.
Okay.
Actually, in fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to assist Ocean in this task.
Okay.
Because we both have strategy and tactics. So I'm kind of like, here's the real world problem. Let's workshop this out.
Fair enough. Ocean, your approach?
Okay. So this is a matter of trying to figure out how we touch base with this covert scanning device.
No, this is once we've gotten all the data we need, how do we get from outside the system to in system without being detected? We don't have the information from the buoy, but we're going to do the handshake with the buoy and then get that back 15 years of updated data to refine our plan.
Okay. If that's the case, what do you have Arvik doing right now?
We're coming in system such that when we come out of warp, we'll be behind the sun. So there's no possibility that we can be detected.
Okay.
And also we're angling as well, Lee, as we approach the star system such that the sun is eclipsing our warp shadow.
Okay. So if we're in astrogation,
yeah,
my thought would be figuring out where there are pockets of the environment, whether it's dust, small moons, the inner two planet, what have you, that we can use to find it, as we did when we found the sort of the sensor blind situations on that starbase, where we were able to say, okay, given what we know, you could hit this landing dock and not be in view.
Yep. So
basically, I'm going to be looking for what can we either use that's in our way, or what might be able to subtly shift to give us a distraction. Things like, can we set off a, I don't want to say set off a solar flare, but set off some sort of spatial, not an anomaly, but some sort of spatial event that's normal within a star system that close to a sun, that naturally sensors would gravitate towards to collect the reading.
Okay. I would likely say what you're describing sounds more like an insight con type of role.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you thought something else might be more appropriate for your character.
It is, which is why until we get the information, I'm not really sure that I'm the right person. We may want to get somebody who, Lusan has the background in astronavigation. We may want to be helping him.
I understand that. This is, again, I'm more interested in the strategy and tactics of it now. We'll have the opportunity to get Arvik and Lusan's.
Fair enough. The actual. Okay. Then it very much would simply be a matter of leveraging the environment, leveraging any distractions that we can generate that are within the realm of normal.
All right. So I think the test based on that is, as previously described, an insight con roll for you, sir. Your target number would be?
It is a 10.
Excellent. All right. And if you'd be so kind as to roll, just to remind everybody, we have 4 threat and 4 momentum at the present time.
I'm going to buy a threat because you just spent a whole bunch.
Sure.
Just double checking my focuses. I guess this might fall under, because you wanted this under strategy and tactics, so I have that as a focus.
Yep, that would fall there.
Yep. No, none. And was there an extended complication range? Because I rolled a 19.
That would definitely equate to a complication.
Okay.
Which I will engage, and it is not something you can observe from where you are, but it is a complicating factor that will make things more difficult going in. Count that as a trait once you're in system that will make navigating the system more difficult.
Got it.
All right. And how many successes did you have?
None.
Ooh, no successes, which means no assists. So, no.
Be fair, what's your bold in?
It's not bold. It is... Oh, I should have done it as...
Momentum.
Yeah, momentum, so I would have gotten the cautious.
Yep. What I will do, because this is one of those failure with now, as we realize there were zero successes, extreme consequence, you are going to get some answers. And I will tell you the order that it appears to you, and you can take that for what...
You can spend a determination for a full reroll.
Oh, let's do that.
Oh, yeah. Let's spend that determination.
I was looking at the rolls because I knew there was something that I could do for a full reroll. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, full reroll. And I can't change my mind as to which one I do, so I'm not going to. That is much better. It's going to be three successes, but I guess see. This was con, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there are no criticals, but it is three successes.
Whew, okay.
I get a bonus momentum because of the threat spend.
And so my assist Lee is on a two using... Sorry, I was going to use a reason command.
Okay.
And advising and what about this and poking holes in his insight. So I rolled a two, which is a critical success for me.
Okay.
So we're at five successes. Do we get the computer to help?
You will. Dave, would you care to roll for the ship? Joe, can you let him know what his target number is?
Computer cons would be a 14.
Okay. I get an 8.
Excellent. Six successes.
So that's going to fill you up on momentum to a total of 6 and leave you 2 bonus momentum for spends. I will give you the 3 plans, and I will give them to you in order of probability of success.
Of not being detected.
Of not being detected.
Okay.
So the number 1 probability is park outside the system, fly the Eagle, or any other shuttle. Eagle most likely, because that would let you detect any satellites or anything capable of observing you would be able to do that. And you can literally shut down warp core. You'll have challenges with raising the warp core if you needed to use it to do anything, a la operate a tractor beam or boogie out of Dodge super fast. There will be a time frame involved in that, probably some challenges there. But you would be largely undetectable if you followed the trajectory that is listed with this particular plan. So that is your best chance of success. The second would be the park outside of the system and ride an asteroid so you're close enough and observe, figure out things from there, and then go down to the planet from there. And your third would be trying to find a route to go through behind the sun like you were talking, but eventually get as close to transporter range or within transporter range as possible without being detected. As those go, the difficulty of using the Eagle to go undetected, that's a task 3 difficulty. The difficulty of the asteroid is a task 4 difficulty with a 2 complication range. The difficulty of the sun plan is a 5 difficulty with a 5 complication range. There are just too many satellites and their sensor capabilities are too good.
All right, so what I would like to do is, we're at 5 plus 2 that have to be spent.
Yep, you've got 2 right now to have to be spent.
I'd like to use 2 of those to create an advantage that we're able to collect information about a particular sort of set of satellites that should we be able to, that we can disrupt through pseudo-natural means. Okay. In the sense of they're
older. I will feed it false data.
They're older and they seem to be older, and we think we'll be able to feed them sort of false data about what they're actually seeing.
Okay. You are able to do that with that momentum spend. That will reduce the challenge difficulties and commensurate complications by one. Great. So that makes it 2, 3, 4, and a not 1, 4 for complication ranges.
Real quickly, did the 2 bonus momentum include Ocean's bonus for his species ability?
So I did not separate that, but I gave you a total of momentum that was over. So in theory, yes, one of those total was one of the ones that had to be immediately spent. The other was just one of the others that was over amount.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, good call, because I did not take that into account when I said it, but mathematically it would work out to be the same.
So I think what I'd like to do, if you would allow, is to piggyback on that and spend 4 additional momentum to make that a potent 3 trait. So we're hacking their sensors to feed them false data.
Okay.
And creating ourselves a blind spot.
At a potent 3, so it makes the eagle is a 0 difficulty with no complication ranges. That would make the asteroid a 1 difficulty with no complications, and that would make bringing in the DC by way of the sun into transporter range a 2 difficulty with a 1 complication range. And that leaves you with 2 momentum, 5 threat.
I think that's good.
All right. We're going to leave you. We're going to catch up with Tanari, trying to see if we can get a stealth probe set up. Relatively easy to do. Just a 1 difficulty at this point to kind of code it the right way and make sure it's not emanating, creating some shielding for it by way of sensors or whatever. So 1 difficulty to do that, no complication range.
Okay. Tell you what, we're full up on momentum right now, right?
No, you spent down. You're down to 2 momentum.
Okay. Let me go ahead and spend a threat just so I can get bold engineering.
Yep.
So that's 3 dice. And I will use a talent I have not used yet. Procedural compliance. When you attempt an engineering task, you may remove 1d20 from your dice pool before rolling. If you do so, you gain 1 automatic success.
Excellent.
So I'll remove 1 of those dice and roll the other 2. There's a 6 and a 15, so that's 1 success. So that's 2 successes total.
3, because your 1 would be a critical success, so that would count for...
The 15 was not a success.
Okay. Right, but the die that you dropped, that counts as a 1, right?
The die I dropped and the 6 are successes. I rolled only 2 dice.
You rolled 2 dice, you didn't roll a 2.
Okay. Let me clarify the way the talent works. Does a talent create a die that's turned to a 1, or does it just create a single success?
Single success.
That's where I was wrong in my head. Got it. Okay. Thank you. Apologies for goofing that up. So
no problem.
With 2 successes.
Second edition.
Yeah, with 2 successes on a 1, you get 1 momentum. Do you care to make a spend with that 1 momentum before it's banked, or are you good to put that in the bank?
Well, I've got a bonus momentum from Intense.
Yep.
Can I use that? I suppose this may be stretching, getting an advantage to get 2 probes ready.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be 2. Yeah. So you can have 2 probes. Absolutely. All right. So you've got 2 probes that are stealth coded and ready to rock.
Sounds good.
And again, to be clear, this is stealth coded for this level of tech.
Right.
Current Federation and Federation equivalent tech would easily pick up these probes. They're not fooling anybody on your level. They're just fooling people below your level.
Right. This is not going into the Romulan Empire and picking that.
Correct.
That. Yes.
Like, yeah, who's rolling tiddlywinks at me right now is what the Romulans will say.
All right.
So those are sent. And Lieutenant Neela, you were also given a task. How would you like to proceed?
So I need to try to turn off the signal coming from the ship, if I recall correctly.
That is correct.
I think I want to use similar to how I like identified the signal in the first place and kind of follow that path, but try to just block it.
Absolutely. All right. So in that particular case, I think that would fall under... you are trying to block it. You're trying to make sure you don't create any other activity. So that, I think, would likely be either a reason or control. And I would say science.
All right. I would like to use reason science.
Okay. And the ship would be assisting with comms and... I would probably say security would be my guess in this case, because you're trying to shut it down without necessarily being figured out kind of thing. That would make sense to me, unless somebody had a different idea for the ship. Okay. So your role, Lacey, how would you like to make any spends or do anything to get some extra dice?
She's using security?
No, the ship is using security.
Okay. And that doesn't count as an ally.
Yeah.
How much momentum and threat do we have?
You're at 2 momentum, and there is 6 threat.
And then, if I recall from our conversation, are we doing the roll the extra dice?
Yes.
To okay, I think I'm not going to make any... Actually, maybe I'll use a momentum to buy an extra die.
Alrighty.
Okay. So, I got 1 success... And a 19, is that anything specific? Does that count as a critical failure?
No, no extended complication range on this one.
All right, so I got 1 success, and then I rolled a 7 on the other die, and I can't remember what that means, except it is lower than my reason.
Then you generate an extra momentum.
Well, that only occurs if you bought an extra die. So you don't need to roll the extra die.
Yeah, she did buy an extra die.
And yes, we generate extra momentum.
Excellent. So, your total successes was 2?
1 success. And then 7? Generated an extra momentum. I think the 7...
No, the 7 counts as one of your die rolls. So the 7 is also a success, I'm assuming, right? No, it doesn't count as that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is a separate roll that happens after you do that. It's an attribute check, under generates
Got
momentum,
it.
Over generates Got threat. It's just for ease of learning. Speed. Ease of speed, you just roll them all together.
Yep, gotcha. That way it doesn't count for your successes, but you know what the answer is immediately, so you can move through that part of it faster. Got
yes.
it. All right, so in that case, that would give you 1 momentum and a bonus momentum for 2 total momentum added. Is that correct? So you're at 3 momentum, 6 success. You have shut down the signal successfully, and there appears to be no challenges or difficulties, so it's not going to be continuously transmitting.
Great. I'll update Commander, of course.
Sure. It is about this time that, Commander Ocean, you receive word from your communications officer, Stavin, who says... Sir, in monitoring transmissions, and we are a bit delayed even as we quickly approach, we have noticed 2 things of importance. There seems to be a fair amount of chatter amongst one group relating to a potential disaster. Something to do with geothermal experiments that are going out of control. Simultaneously, the other group is concerned with strange signals they're getting from somewhere near those geothermal sites, which are deep within the first group's territories, and assuming it's a prelude to war.
I assume this is happening while we're in Astrometrics, so the commander would hear this as well. And I think we...
We'll be up on the bridge.
Yep.
Excellent. And that will conclude, unless somebody else had anything else at the moment,